Accession number 30134, reel 11.
Okay, so that's Joe said for his reel 10. We were just there just discussing that the carriers and support company went across on rafts and they were pulled across by ropes, Joe.
Yes, and then eventually, of course, when the REs had constructed or mended the bridge, they would have gone across by road quite easily, and the tanks as well, of course.
Yes, yes.
One incident before we leave the this Lommel bridgehead, enemy, Luftwaffe, bombed our people.
Oh, right.
Machine gunning and bombing in the battalion concentrated area. On the left, now this was all part of the sort of general thing, widening the corridor. The 15 Div, Scottish Div, attacked on the left about Veal.
Right.
So having, crossing the canal, of course, at Lommel, I mean, crossing it. They were having the cross there, but encountering very heavy opposition. So, we were turned left, as it were, westwards, to go along the Bund.
Yes.
And create, occupy the enemy's attention and relieve the pressure on them.
Mm-hmm.
So we did a left turn and did an advance along there against an unlocated enemy. There was a lot of standing corn as well. And the carrier platoon had quite a field day going through that and picked up quite a few prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a mopping up operation. On our left. And then the 1st, 5th Welsh passed through there, continued. Yeah.
This is the day of the crossing, Joe. You crossed the evening before.
That's right.
16th. And this is the day of the crossing.
Yes, the day of the crossing, yes. Mm. I think probably rather late on, but I think that was the 18th, no, morning of the 17th, we were in our position the following day, the 18th.
18th.
The 18th, yes. Yep. Because that was the day of the enemy air raid, too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the meantime, while all this was going on, again, bigger picture, the 1st Canadian Army, their main task was Antwerp. And Antwerp had been taken. That was the city, the town, the docks.
Mm-hmm.
But the Scheldt still defended and mined, and it was urgent to get Port Antwerp working as a port, because all the supplies were still, and the ammunition, everything, still coming to the Normandy beaches along roads and so on, right up to the forward troops. And the strain was coming very, very severe.
Mm.
And even we had to be even careful about ammunition. So it was a matter of great urgency to get Antwerp working as a port. Of course, the islands had to be taken on the mouth of the Scheldt. That was a commando operation. So you had a big picture on that. Canadians on the far left, Antwerp. 12 corps widening the corridor on this side, 8 corps on the other, and we were fitted in the middle.
And all of those supplies, Joe, were coming by road.
That's right.
From Normandy.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm. And also created a shortage of transport if we had to go from A to B and be transported, and we often had to ride on our own vehicles.
Mm.
So, that was that. Now then, the next thing again, in the same cause was the attack on Bladel. Now, I'll just see a related picture. Now here, you will see Lommel.
Yes, I can see that.
And Bladel and Happert.
Yes, Bladel is here.
That's right. See how close they were.
Yes,
it's all part of the picture of widening this corridor. So all fits in.
Yes, because Eindhoven right. here is
very near. Very near the axis. Well, yeah. Eindhoven was part of the drive up towards Arnhem. Yeah.
This is a map you're showing me here, Joe, of Lommeland-Blaabl area.
How they're related.
Yes. Yes.
How they're related.
Yes.
Now, so we were actually again a great pressure pushed up to Happert, which was we took over from another unit. It's immaterial really, but the point that we got there wasn't really held. But Germans were located in Blaabl, and it appeared that. It meant to be held by documents and so on, picked up later. And there were two places, Reusel and Hilsel, also held. So we were urged, there's a stream going through here, too. We were urged to take Blaabl, and quickly. And he got to Happert in the evening and told to get on with Blaabl next morning, just like that. No time for reconnaissance.
I mean, what you appear to be doing here, Joe, is driving a sort of a wedge between German positions, aren't you, on both sides?
That's right, exactly. Yes. That's why I painted the bigger picture, because that was show what otherwise would appear a series of disjointed actions.
Yes.
But it all fits into that picture.
Yes.
Yes, that's right. That's the thing. That's the one. Now, do I?
Yeah.
So, anyhow, Blaabl was held. Maximum pressure put on the battalion to get on with it. 22nd of September. No chance of a recce. Orders were given at night. For more attack next day, and all had done mostly from the map.
Now, Blaabl is a village, Joe.
A village of about 6,000.
Okay.
Now, here's a start line, Happert. There is a river. This bridge is damaged. Vehicles can't cross it, but this stream is fordable by infantry. It's fordable. Cross it by, but you can't get vehicles across.
So you've got a stream across your line of advance.
That's right, and that was our start line. Start line should be free from enemy interference, but this wasn't. I mean, it's so there we have now. This road goes to Reusel and this one to Hilsel.
These are roads from Blaabl.
That's right up north, yes. And all this is held. As I say, information scanty. So, in order to keep the thing flexible, two companies forward, followed by two others. And the enemy pressure on the right flank was quite considerable. And I remember going along there, there was considerable sniper fire and had considerable casualties. One rather probably amusing thing, it was autumn, and there was a very rich peach harvest, and even under those conditions they were just plucking peaches from the gardens and that and stuffing them, you know, for consumption at a more leisure time. However, that's by the way. Now we had we were given some engineers to work on the bridge, and also our pioneers were to construct a ramp a bit further down so that vehicles could start crossing, carriers principally. And anti-tank guns, of course. But they couldn't do much because we were continually being interfered with.
From
small arms fire, and also mortaring and shelling. It was a tricky position. Because once the companies had crossed this stream and got on with this job, they were cut off from the battalion.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
As far as any effective, you know, support on wheels or tracks concerned.
Because what you're showing me there, Joe, is the stream would be keeping the advanced companies apart from the rest of the battalion.
Oh yes, absolutely. Yes, yes. In fact, the battalion was cut off.
Yes.
We were, in fact, by nightfall, before a few other things, by nightfall, the companies had to were cut off from the battalion.
Yes.
By night, of course, the engineers could work on that. And the four companies are put under command of Major Bremner, who took over my company, he was the senior of the battalion, to control that, because it couldn't be controlled from him. That's the situation as it was. Now, the fighting in Bladel was scrappy. There was considerable, it wasn't, I'd say, coordinated by Germans all that well. There were scrappy fighting in houses, in back gardens, and in fact it was that sort of thing, but it took quite a time. And E Company on the right, now as we're getting into difficulties, C Company had been kept back here to deal with people on. But they had to follow through.
That's close to the stream, on the Bladel side of the stream.
Enemy, yes.
Yes.
And maybe a bit further up here, but anyhow, the thing is that they had to follow through because the D Company lost the platoon, I'll tell you in a minute. And so the battalion commander appealed to brigade, and from another battalion, two things, a company from another battalion, I think it's a 6-12 foot or something immaterial, and a machine gun, Vickers machine gun platoon from the battalion, Vickers machine gun battalion, were detached to and under command of RCO to look after this flank, to liberate C Company to follow D. Because D Company, having got there and sort of in this scrappy fighting, established themselves, got up here to this road junction, one leading to Royston and the other to Hilton. Mm-hmm. And the platoon commander rather enthusiastically followed Germans who appeared to be pushing out up this road too far, too fast, and the platoon was eliminated. Because what happened, we got this from somebody, one of the soldiers who escaped, was they got that far, and then the Germans, this is quite tactical, the Germans, came back. And there was, the platoon got isolated in various houses. They had good targets to shoot at, but they were isolated and dealt with piecemeal by the Germans. Mm. And that was the end of that. So D Company minus the platoon.
Yes.
So they needed C Company anyhow to it. Companies on the here, this side, weren't so badly molested.
How many people in that platoon, Joe? 20?
Well, that strength, yes, maybe even less, because platoon normally is 30 plus, 32, if you full complement with officer and sergeant and everything else. But normally, especially if you have casualties, somebody lost here, somebody there, and we had quite a few casualties from snipers.
Yes.
Also mortar and so on. Spando. You put it down to maybe 18-20. I've had platoons even less than that.
Yes.
Sometimes, they're down almost to a section. 10 or 12, however. So that would be, that was the case. So anyhow, we got ourselves established there, with the enemy still pretty well, around. No supporting things could get up, except, of course, we had our artillery fire, which we used, but it was very difficult to use artillery or even mortars in this, because we didn't know quite where the enemy were, and you don't just waste things in the air. Also, of course, again, we had caution about ammunition, a bit, supply thing. So one had to be a bit careful, and also, of course, once we got into the place, it's very dangerous to put down artillery fire or mortar fire, you might kill your own people.
Yep.
So we were rather stuck there, but we could, of course, use it on the periphery, keep people down.
Was this the German Wehrmacht in this area, Joe?
Wehrmacht? Yes. Oh, yes, yes. Okay. Not SS.
Right.
Yes. No, we didn't encounter any SS in this fighting. As I say, fighting was scrappy, and we couldn't even get rations. And we turned to the local people. Not something to keep our...
You had some peaches, of course. Mm? You had some peaches in your tunic.
Yes. Not everybody. No, I didn't. But there it was. And the locals fed us. I remember our company headquarters, D Company, was in a cigar factory, a cigar and fabric. The Dutch made a lot of cigars. And, probably the stuff from Indonesia, I think. There's a lot of tobacco there. And they also grew tobacco in their homeland. Mm. But we were cut off, dependent on the locals for sustenance, at least. But there again, that's it, because we were cut off. Now, by 8:30 on the 23rd, the road bridge had been made serviceable, and also the ramp wasn't so successful. However, the road was, it capsized and collapsed, but anyhow the road was used, and then communications were established, and that was really the battle of Bladel. It was small, it was scrappy, it was difficult, and potentially very dangerous.
And you'd lost a lot of casualties there.
Oh, yes. Frittered, you know. Yeah. You know then. But you see, it was dangerous, because if the enemy had moved down in any strength, you'd have had, apart from our own artillery fire, which could bring down to them, you didn't have any anti-tank guns, had no tanks with you, because of this obstacle. Mm. And battalion on the other side. And on the 25th, Arnhem fell. So that relates to things, what were happening on that.
Were you aware, Joe, at this time, you saw the aircraft going over, but you said that at the time you weren't aware they were what they were involved in. Ooh. The aircraft going over toward Arnhem?
Yes.
But were you aware that there were battles going on around the Arnhem area at this time?
Vaguely, because I say the bigger picture, I wouldn't say it didn't trickle down, but we were so immersed in our own affairs and being pushed so hard that a lot of the bigger things just subsided.
Yes, I can imagine.
Yes. But I think we were aware that, but we didn't actually connect that necessarily with.
Yes, I understand. That,
but it was obvious. Yeah. Mm. Now, the battalion then got into Bladel altogether, and until the 20th, this was the morning of the 20th. 23rd, yes, remained there till the 28th for much needed rest and maintenance, because they've been continually pushing from Antwerp onwards. Now we come now to St. Ode Road. That was the next assignment, and that was really entirely defensive, to keep open this bit of the corridor, keep it from immediate interference from the Germans. And that was really a sort of defensive battle.
But by this time you said that Arnhem had failed.
Yes.
Or at least
Arnhem fell on the 25th. We weren't aware of it then.
No.
But
you were just obviously, now looking back in retrospect, just keeping open that...
Well, Nijmegen, you see, Nijmegen and Graz had been taken. yeah. and suffered pushing up there. Yeah. That corridor had to be maintained. Mm. But the push to reach Arnhem failed.
Yes.
Of course, a lot had been written about that, and Phil made a bridge too far. It's not in the scope here to examine the causes, but a lot of things went into it, apart from weather. Intelligence was bad. It was pointed out that it's a drop some little distance from Arnhem because of the flak at Arnhem. There's hardly any flak at Arnhem. Completely ignored or didn't know about some first-class German troops resting from Russia in a very short distance away, and the presence of Model in the area, who used them to good effect. And Arnhem, to get to the bridge, had quite a march to get there, and of course, by the time they got there, all happened.
Yes.
And they couldn't, anyway, they fell, I think about 2,000 managed to get across the Rhine. The rest who weren't killed were taken prisoner.
Yeah.
And that's Arnhem fell. So, but the corridor had to be kept open. And of course, it was a rather sandy area with small copses, and this gives a very good idea of what it was like.
Yes, this is a map showing
that's
the
right, yes.
dispositions of the companies.
There was one little elevated area, and that was here.
Yeah, of the companies around St. Servant Road.
That's right. We were strung up in companies, took over from another unit, hardly in contact at all, but they were on, I think, the 7th Welsh Fusiliers here, and the 1st, 5th Welsh there. Yeah. But hardly in contact at all, because we kept in touch by patrols.
Yeah.
And the companies were spread out, hardly not able to support each other mutually.
And the country was flat there, Joe?
Flat, sandy, numerous ditches. Typical of Holland. Numerous ditches and these copses.
Yes.
And that was St. Odin Road, and we were there for quite a long time. From the 28th of September to the 19th of October.
And during that time, were the Germans trying to push into your positions?
No major effort.
Right.
But they had, obviously, there had been quite a battle there to close this thing before we got there. I suppose that was the initial push of 30 Corps, with spearheaded by Guards Armour Division, because there are quite a few knocked out tanks, ours and theirs, and SB guns. And of course the place was, I can say littered actually, an exaggeration, but nearer Grave and Nijmegen with gliders.
Yes.
You know, from the airborne operations. On our right, brigade right, was 101 US airborne. Was they taken, I think, Grave or Nijmegen, I forget which took which. The two US airborne were involved, 82nd and 101. But that was it. Now, there was a lot of patrolling on by both sides. It's nothing that really merits outstanding comment.
Would you have gone on any of these patrols?
Yes.
You did.
Listening and observing and seeing what we saw, and at least hearing what we heard, because they're all at night. But these patrols were continuous pretty well.
And they were listening patrols?
Yes, mostly. Yes, I think there was one raid made by a fighting patrol against a located enemy position to snatch. But when the patrol, and also very well supported by artillery, almost a sort of box thing. But when it got there, there was nobody.
Oh, right.
Another occasion, two patrol, one of our patrols came up against an enemy patrol, thought it was unobserved, only to be met by a shower of grenades, suffered a lot of casualties.
Yes.
Those were little egg grenades, about that size. And what happened is, you took the pin out and threw it immediately and exploded. It was not very lethal, but terribly demoralizing. Because you could throw hundreds, well, that's an exaggeration, throw about half a dozen of those. I mean, it makes a terrific din.
Yes.
And that was usually one of the ways in which the Germans would assault a trench at night, for example, is to a shower of these immediately followed by
infantry.
By men with Tommy guns and that sort
yes.
of thing. Before the people had recovered.
Yes.
Egg grenades. So, but there is nothing, I mean, there's no outstanding. One else thing that happened is A Company, which was on the right forward, was attacked by our own aircraft, Typhoons.
RAF?
I don't know.
Right, okay.
But they were attacked, and they were meant to attack an enemy position which was clearly marked with red smoke some distance away. They attacked us instead. Fortunately, there were no casualties. It just gives an idea of quite how many casualties the enemy suffered on those
yes,
things.
Yes.
That happened.
But there was no activity from the German Luftwaffe at this time?
No.
Okay.
No. It was the attackers were ours, at least. American or British.
Yes.
That was now, I think, we can now go on to preliminaries to Sir Tokenbosch.
Okay.
Might be able to, three quarters of an hour, might be able to do it all or might not, because
Fine.
It's rather a complex battle than a big okay. one.
Well, if you're happy to continue, we'll continue,
Jack. Oh, yes. Well, I think we can continue and then break Fine. Off. It's too early to go to lunch, and I think we're another half hour.
Fine.
That carry us to one. And then after that, I think we can go to lunch and finish and rest afterwards.
Fine, okay.
Now, we went from there. We were taken, of course, relieved by another unit, and it's immaterial, really, what. But Sir Tobenbosch. Now, you can see where it is here, of course, and in relation to other places that we've mentioned.
Yes, this is to the west of Grave, Joe, isn't it?
That's right.
And it looks from this 30 miles from Grave to the west.
Yes. Now, it is, of course, a description. Now, there we find it in... Now that we've got on Sir Tobenbosch, we'll get the Sir Tobenbosch maps out.
Yes.
And get that... There again, it's a bigger map, but it shows where Sir Tobenbosch is.
Yes.
Note right. Oz, the Wizard of Oz on top.
Yes, this is a place, O-double-S.
That's
Joe.
Right, Oz,
yes.
They call it.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, that, of course, is... now, we reached... just a second. Yes, from Grave, from St. Olden Road... Yes, you can see St. Olden Road here in relation to St. Tobenbosch.
Yes.
So, see, but the Germans were here. And I suppose they were more concentrated, really, in this area.
St. Olden Road is to the southeast of St. Olden Bosch.
Yes, there's St. Olden Road.
Yes.
And there's the road leading up.
And it's about five, six that's miles that's southeast right. of St. Olden Bosch.
That's right.
Okay.
And we were moved up to Verdun. Here.
And that's in a northerly direction.
In a northerly direction. And Oss is just, or Oss
yes.
is just here, Bergen Oss. Yes. So we attacked St. Tobenbosch in that direction.
Yes, from the west.
That's
to,
right.
From the east, attacking
from the
toward
east.
The west.
Yes, to the west.
Yes.
Now, Tobenbosch, of course, is a nodal point. It's where roads and canal and rail all meet. Nature, surrounded by canals and by the River Dommel, is very naturally strong, and of course it's very old, and has a long history. It's has an alternative French name, Bois le Duc, the Duke's Wood, and its history goes back 800 years, pretty well, in the 11th or 12th century. And it was always a strong point, as you can see, because it is strategic.
Yes.
And was one of the German main bases and supplies in Holland, with the north and with the west. So they were going to hold it and hold it in strength. Yes, the battalion reached Bergamo on the 19th of October. And after the failure of Arnhem, of course, and the ability to bounce the Rhine and go straight in, it became very important to clear the west bank of the Rhine and also these strategic places of the Germans before we could tackle the Siegfried Line.